So, randomly, I learned a bunch of chicken facts. Does anybody like chickens in here? Chickens are such cute animals. Anybody have chickens in here? Does anybody have chickens at their house? A couple people? One? You know somebody has chickens? You got them in your freezer. It's a good place to have chickens. So come on back. We had we got to get away with our church staff a few weeks ago, and we got to have some fun together. And one of the things is somebody had a chicken that this person had to carry around for 3 days and like take care of this chicken. And every 30 minutes, she gave these chicken facts. There was a fact that blew me away. There was this chicken named Mike. Now, his full name wasn't Mike. Some people call him Miracle Mike. Okay, so Miracle Mike, maybe he's this great guy. But he's better known as Headless Mike. So here's a picture of Headless Mike. Now, it's okay. It's kind of gruesome, but there he is. This chicken is a living, breathing chicken without a head. So Mike, the story goes that Farmer Joe, whatever his name was, Farmer Joe, it was dinner time. The wife said, hey, we need you to go get a chicken. We're having chicken. So he goes out and makes dinner, basically, but kind of missed. And so he didn't get the whole head off the chicken. And so this chicken continued to live, to walk around. We got a picture of it, like, walking around with other chickens. And there's little Farmer Joe with the head. Now, this chicken, like, literally would hang out with other chickens. And it lived for 18 months. It was running around and doing the things they all do. Now, it can't do everything. Look, this chicken's like, ha, I can see. You can't see anything. Can you imagine this chicken like, thump, thump? You like have blind dogs and stuff. Sorry, that's mean. But this chicken is headless, and it's unbelievable. Like, they're like blown away that this chicken could live so long without a head. Now, the sad thing is it eventually died. The funny thing is it choked on a piece of corn. The farmer would like inject water, because it's not like this thing can like get water like everybody else. You have to like inject it into the thing, and he would like feed little bits of corn, but it's not sustainable. So unfortunately, Miracle Mike, Headless Mike, ended up dying after 18 months. But you go, yeah, he doesn't have a head. I think that a lot of us are the same way. It was on the cover of Life magazine. Cheesy segue. But here's what I want you to remember. A lot of us go through life not looking to the head. And you might get away with it for a little bit. You might be able to run for a long time, but you're not going to be able to feed yourself. You're not going to be able to roam around and live a full, abundant life like all the other chickens. And you go, what am I talking about? I'm talking about last week we looked at Jesus as the supreme authority and head of the church. We saw that scripture itself says that Jesus is God, the head of the church, his body. But I want to challenge you guys this morning, and I want to challenge myself, because a lot of us, but more I want to challenge you, a lot of us in our culture, and even here at Wake, run around, let's throw that back up, run around, not looking to the head, almost run around without a head. We go through life with no head, no authority. And guys, you might be getting away with it now. You might go, yeah, I don't need somebody to tell me what to do. I do this Jesus thing when I go to church or I go to small group, whatever. But scripture says, without Christ as our head, we're not going to be effective in this world. His name is not going to be effective in this world. You can get away with it for a while, but you can't. So Colossians 1:18, we looked at it last week, and it says that he is the head of the body, the church. He is talking about Jesus Christ, the head of the body, the church. Jesus himself said it in John 15:5. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, it is him who bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Without a head, you can do nothing. You might get away with it. They might try to feed you little things, but you will die. And without Christ as your head, you will spiritually die, and his name will not be glorified through you. Jesus is head of the body. And guys, What Paul is doing here, writing to Colossians, is addressing heresies, addressing these false teachings, addressing these things that people say is spiritually true, but goes against everything the church, but more importantly, Scripture teaches. And guys, I think this is a heresy that not only they dealt with 2,000 years ago, but we deal with in the church today. The heresy that, hey, no, it doesn't matter what you believe, you just go for it. Hey, it's just you and Jesus. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to be like fully involved. You can just do your thing. You'll go to heaven. God is love. There's no hell. Like, God's not going to send you to hell. He's a loving God. That's not what my scripture teaches. It sounds good. It sounds great. God is a God of love. But we learned last week, too, he's a God of justice. And God has given us every opportunity to come and know him and be a part of his body by sending his son Jesus to die for us, to give us provision, to give us the way to have access to him because he reconciled us to himself. That is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we see here that he who abides in me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the head and we are the church. What does that mean? We're going to look at some of that this morning. But Jesus is the head, and we are the church. If you're writing notes, take that down or write it in the margin of your Bible. We're going to be in Colossians 2 this morning. Colossians 2, we've looked at some big chunks of scripture before. We're going to look at a couple verses today, but they're rich and they're full. Colossians 2, headless Mike. Don't be headless Mike, all right? Don't go through life without a head. Colossians 2, verse 6. Here's what starts. And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. And I'm going to stop there. Now, there's more, obviously, but there's already enough to dig through right there. I've heard that before. Some of you guys may have heard that before. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Okay, great. Well, I'll do that. I'll keep going. But as I sat studying this text, and guys, this is one of my favorite little two verses in Colossians. This is something that I'm praying for myself this year. This is something that I pray for my small group. I told them this week, I pray that for them because it is so rich. And as I'm sitting in it this week and I'm studying, I saw that just as you accepted Christ Jesus, just at the beginning, because we know that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ Jesus raised from the dead, you will be saved. At that moment, you're saved. You don't have to do anything else. But it says, just as that moment you needed Jesus for salvation and everything and life and freedom, you must continue to follow him. Well, does that mean if I don't, I mess up? Like, am I toast? What happens if I sin again? Does that mean that I don't know him? No. It says, just as you needed him then, you need him every day. We sing a song in here a lot that says, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And it's talking about a life where not only do you just, so here, I'll say it this way. Jesus is not fire insurance. And no one understands what that means because you don't own a home. I do now. I have a home. And you got to buy insurance. And it's awful. You got to spend all kinds of money to buy things that you don't think you'll ever need. But people sometimes look to Jesus to go, okay, great. I'm into heaven. I'm good to go. I got Jesus. Now I'll just live my life. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. I don't need to do anything else. And yes, they may be going to heaven, but I think you're missing it. If that's you, I think you're missing it. There is more to the Christian life and to walking in relationship with Christ than just going to heaven. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it abundantly. Give it to the fullest. And so this verse is saying, just as you accepted him, you need to depend on him every day. Life is a journey. Our spiritual life is a journey. It's step by step. It's day by day. It's not just a destination. It's not just some place that we're trying to get to. The goal is not just heaven. That's such a great reward. It's such a great thing. I can't believe that God, even though of my sin, accepts me and asks me to live forever with him. But right now what he asks me is to display his glory and his love to the world around me. He is the head and we are his body. And it's a journey that we walk on, step by step. Who's ever been to New York City in here? Anybody? Who's ever just been to the airport? Like you've like, maybe not New York, or you've been to some city. You said, yeah, I've been there, but you've only been to the airport. That happened to me in Ireland. You've been there before? So some people have been to New York City, so you're going to know what I'm talking about. But, you know, you maybe say all these places that you've traveled, oh, I've been here and I've been here, I've been here. I don't really think you can count a place if you've just been to the airport. Like, that's not that cool. Yes, you were there, but was the airport super exciting? It's cool. It's cool to see a new airport, but it's not the city. You're not seeing it in its fullness. It's one thing to go, yeah, I've been in New York City. Been to JFK or just sitting there on the tarmac. I saw the buildings. They're beautiful. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's a whole city that you got to explore. It's not just the destination. It's a totally different thing when you go and walk the streets of New York. Who's walked the streets of New York? Isn't it awesome? You buy those roasted peanuts, oh, they just like melt in your mouth. Or you get some fake Rolex or something. Like, there's so many cool things. When you walk the streets in New York, you meet these people. You see the Eiffel, not the Eiffel Tower, the Empire State Building. You see it with your own eyes. You're walking, now hold on. You can see the Empire State Building from the airport. You see it and you go, oh, wow, there it is. Wow, and it really looks like the picture. Could have just done the picture. Same thing. But when you walk down Fifth Avenue and you walk along, you look up at the thing and you go, oh, my goodness. That thing's huge. And then you can get in line and you can go to the top and you can see everything. Guys, there is an abundant life that Jesus invites you into the journey on. To walk with him step by step, to journey with him, to see things that right now, heaven is going to be great someday, but it's not just the destination, it's the journey. Who likes the movie The Hobbit? Even better yet, who read the book? Some people read the book. The Hobbit is a great story, and it's written by a guy named J.R. Tolkien. And it's a story about this man, Bilbo, who's freaked out of his mind, that's hearing of these great adventures. Shh, y'all stick with me. Hearing of these great adventures, but he's never been on one himself. And he gets invited on this great adventure by Gandalf. He gets invited to come. And Gandalf says, hey, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure. It's difficult to find someone. And Bilbo says, yeah, I think so in these parts. We're just plain quiet folk. We don't have any use for adventures. They're nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. They make you late for dinner. What a boring dude. Like, what if someone described you as that? Oh, they just want to be on time for dinner all the time. They don't do anything exciting. Like, ugh. So he says, no, please, come with me. Bilbo says, sorry, I don't want any adventures, thank you. Not today. Good morning. But please come to tea anytime you like. Why not tomorrow? Goodbye. That's not the quote I wanted. Never mind. Don't remember that quote. I thought I copied and pasted something else. That means nothing. Whole point is in this story, Bilbo is going, hey, no, those adventures are scary. That journey that you want me to go on, I don't know anything about it. I'd rather just be comfortable right here. I think that's the American church that you're a part of. I think we go, okay, yeah, Jesus, heaven, all that's great, but I'm just going to sit here. I'll do my thing. I want to, you know, get some candy, get through high school. I don't know why in that order, but I just want to be safe. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want my reputation to be affected. I know that there's abundant life that I could be with in Christ, but man, that scares me. I'm good here. I'm good just kind of managing it. I'm good just with my little small group. I'm good just here. But guys, Christ, Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the living God, invites you into a relationship with him and a journey with him that is scary, that is hard, but that he describes as an abundant life when you walk with him. Bilbo went on this journey. If you've seen the movie or read the book, you've seen he went on these amazing adventures with amazing tales. And it was hard. And there were twists and turns. And there were unexpected outcomes. And there were monsters and goblins. But he came back and he was different. He came back to the Shire at the end. And he had a maturity. He had these stories to tell. He had a life, an abundant life that was hard, but it was good. Guys, that's why we invite you on this journey with us. We don't just do the journey to keep you busy. Like, it's a lot to do. We do the journey so that you are reminded through God's word what God teaches you to do, where God instructs us to go, the abundant life that he says, hey, this is all available to you. Just come with me. Jump in with the journey with us. Jump on the journey with us. Scripture is our guide, our map, our nourishment, because God is our rest. The next verse, it goes on in verse 7. It says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Do we have that verse we can throw up? Yeah. Let your lives be built on him, rooted in him. Let them go down deep. That first part, rooted in him. Where are you rooted? It's a weird question. I got 2 feet. I don't have roots. Where are you rooted? Where do you plant yourself? Where do you allow your life to be nourished and enriched? Where do you allow people to feed into you? Because you think about roots for a little bit. You think about a huge tree, right? Roots are the things that nobody sees. Roots are the things that go way deep down into the ground, that go way, 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 way down there. And that is what feeds the tree. That's what gives the tree strength. That's what causes the tree to grow. And all of us have roots. I'm not just talking about your family, but who is feeding you? Who is building you up? Who is giving you growth? Because either you're planted in the Lord, you're planted in your friendships, you're planted in your own identity, you're planted in self-sufficiency, which I think that's one of the biggest heresies right now in our church culture, is you think, oh no, I got it, I'm good. We have everything that we need in America, and a lot of us think that we don't need Christ. Guys, all of it's going to fail. All of it's going to rot away. Without Jesus, we're nothing. He is the head, and we are his body. Where are you rooted? What are you allowing to feed into your life and to nourish you? The tense of this verbs. Who hates grammar in here? Just be honest. I do. But here's, I'm going to show you why it's important, why you want to pay attention. Because the way, stick with me, the way that when people write, the way they write it matters. And what we're dealing with here is a letter in a completely different language, but how he wrote it matters. And in the Greek, he says it in what some scholars think is a passive tense. And I've always read this verse as, okay, great. I got to be rooted in Christ. I got to be built up in him. And then I got to be firmly established. What am I going to do that? But that's not the message. That's not the point. It's worded in such a way where it is nothing that we do. It is all what Christ does through us. And there's a ton of freedom there. Because you think about it, a tree doesn't do anything. A tree just, somebody plants it, and then it just rests. It just soaks up the food, and it grows. And it gives shade, it gives strength. And that's what we're to do. But a lot of us in this room, we're trying to grow ourselves. We're trying to make ourselves bigger. We're trying to make ourselves fed. But Jesus is going to do all of that through us. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God is going to grow us. God is the one that's going to root us. God is the one that's going to build on top of that foundation and then establish us firmly in the faith. He's going to do all of that. We just have to be willing to look to him as the head. You're going to be running around. There's a phrase, running around with your head cut off, because you don't know anything. Like, if you close your eyes and start running, you're going to run into walls. You're going to run into things. You're going to hurt yourself and others. But when you've got a head that guides and directs you, the body follows. Now, this is just 2 verses in a long chapter of Scripture. It's a journey. It's a journey that God invites you on, and it's a journey that some of us get the wrong direction because we're looking to the wrong head. But there's so much fun in the journey. I used to do a lot of road trips with my family. You guys still go on road trips? Still have some? And I bet everybody in here has a fun road trip story, right? You've got like the, oh man, you just should have seen my dad in this moment. My family, we were in another country. Now you think I'm tall? I'm the shortest in my family. I'm the runt. And so we don't fit in vehicles well. We don't really all jam in there, especially in another country in Europe where the vehicles are not made like we make them here. They're even tinier. So we're in the biggest car we think we can rent. It's a minivan. And there are six of us in this minivan. It seats seven, but I'm telling you, we're huge. And we've got luggage, and we're just like cramped in there. We're in France, and we're trying to go to Normandy. We're in Paris, and we're leaving. It's a huge city. It's huge. It's confusing. They speak another language. I mean, what are they thinking? It's nuts. And so we're trying to get around and find out where we're going, and all of us are confused. We're pulling out our phones. We're wasting all kinds of data, and we're like trying to get on the right road to get where we're going. Finally, we get out of the city, and we're just hauling. It's a road that goes around the city to get to another road, and we are just trucking. And finally, you get there, and it feels good. You're like, man, okay, good. We can just relax. Dad's driving. We're rocking. You look on the other side. I'm glad that we're hauling down the highway because the other side is bumper-to-bumper traffic. They're going nowhere. So we're passing hundreds of people a minute, practically laughing at them because we're going so fast. And then I hear my dad say a classic line that my family quotes all the time now, not to his face, because it's a sore subject. But my now wife was with us there, and we're going down this highway so fast, and my dad looks at my mom and goes, man, we're making great time, but we're going in the wrong direction. And we look over there, and there's all these cars going the other way. Guys, I think that sometimes our church, our culture, whoever, even back in Colossae, we think, oh man, if I just believe something, I'll go somewhere. If I'm just religious, if I just pursue God in some way, at least that's something. I'll get to heaven. Scripture is clear that there's one way, and it's Jesus. That we've got to walk in him continually. We've got to be rooted and built up and established in him. Because he is the head and we are his body. And as we're rooted, so bears that fruit. And we have got to be going in the right direction or it's a worthless pursuit. We have got to be going the right way, even if it's hard, even if it takes longer. Because that's where Scripture challenges us to go. The head gives direction and the body goes forth. We as the church are called his body. We are to model the love of Christ to the world, but we can't do it without the head. We can't do it without God's direction and leading and showing us the way to go and giving us the power to get there. We as your leaders want to help you with that. We want to show you how you can be rooted in Christ to grow in him, to be influential for him in the lives of others. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. I thank you. I thank you that in your word, you show us that you are going to be the one that grows us. You're going to be the one that plants us firmly. You're going to be the one that establishes us firm in the faith. But Lord, we've got to be faithful. I pray that all of us in this room, just as the day that many of us surrendered to you and needed you and finally gave our lives to you just as you gave your life for us, I pray that we will live in surrender and dependence like that every day. Not because we have to renew it, not because we've got to ask to be saved over and over again, but because, Lord, we cannot do it without you. So, Lord, I pray that we will seek you with everything we've got. We will run to your word. We will run to each other and challenge each other and hold each other accountable so that we can be your body to the world around us. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to do it alone. Thank you that you give us your word as a map, as a guide to where we're supposed to go. Give us strength. Give us boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.